Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Way is Wild podcast. We are your hosts, Blake and Joy Ligon. Each week, our goal is to equip and inspire each other to follow the wild way of Jesus. So join us as we discover together how we can follow Jesus into the wild. So Joy, we're going to play a game.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm going to ask you a word, and you are going to give me what you think is the definition of this word.
Wait, say that again, because, you know.
It's pretty simple.
Say it one more time.
I'm going to give you a word, and then you're going to define it.
Now, you're just like, am I going to know what these words are?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Okay, here's the word. You ready? Mm-hmm. This is a real legit word, I'm pretty sure. You ready?
I'm nervous.
Cuckoo ka-choo. Cuckoo ka-choo.
It's all good, like, baby. It's all good, baby. Is that what that means?
No.
Close? It's all good. It's all good. Yes, I've heard that before.
We're going to maybe need to look that up. We're going to need to give that a Google real quick. I don't think that's exactly right.
I think it is.
I kind of want people listening right now to be like, hey, what do you think cuckoo ka-choo?
What I've been told before means is, it's all good, baby. It's all good, man. Is that it?
Who is telling you it's all good, baby? I feel like we need to unpack that a little bit more before we dive into this episode. Who's speaking to you, calling you baby?
No, I don't know. I think I'm just trying to. It's like
you just keep going. It's all good, baby. It's all good, baby. What do you even mean?
It's all good, man.
Yeah, it's all good.
Everything's so the only part I had wrong was baby.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
Oh, okay.
So the word cuckoo ka-choo is kind of like Hakuna Matata. Like it's like it's all good. It's means no worries. You were close.
No I was worries. Just
yeah. And it's no one worries. Of those like
baby.
Grief. We're getting nowhere fast.
Yes. Definitely obviously want to listen to this today. No kidding. We're struggling.
But the reason I asked the question is because the first time that I met there's a fly flying around while we're trying to record this. Anyway, the first time that I met this individual that we're about to interview, he introduced himself as I am Cuckoo Ka-choo. And I was like, this guy, he's out of his mind.
He's cuckoo.
You got the cuckoo right for sure. He was a very intense individual. I'm pretty sure he introduced himself after he gave me a really big bear hug where I smelled like his cologne for the next couple of hours because of how like deep the hug was. But that is how I was introduced to our guest today, David Dennison, a.k.a.
Cuckoo Ka-choo.
Cuckoo Ka-choo, baby. David is has been a good friend of ours for a while. He has a phenomenal story. I think while we were interviewing him, I feel like both of us at times, like, just were sitting there, like, mouth open.
We learned a lot.
We learned a ton. We were very educated in
A lot
of things. We don't want to ruin anything for this interview. But what stuck out to me so much, and we're going to hear this is in the interview, is how two words literally changed the trajectory of his life for years. Actually, decades. Mm-hmm. Pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that words create worlds. That's kind of a tongue twister.
I'm proud of you for saying that, though. You did good.
It took me a while. Did you hit words?
No, you did it.
You're better at tongue twisters than I am, by the way.
It's true.
We proved it last night.
But you're better at, like, what are they, alliterations?
And I feel like we need to clarify that. Yes, I am better at alliterations, but then I was like, you know, you're better at tongue twisters. We proved that last night. You want to tell them?
Last night we had a date on the couch where we said tongue twisters.
We just sat there.
We literally sound so lame right now.
Yes. But
it's actually really fun. So it was if you fun. Need a date night, sit on your couch and just pull up tongue twisters and start saying them, and you'll laugh really hard.
Oh, it was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you were better at it than I was.
That's true.
But I struggled.
Yeah, you kind of kept doing something funny with your... You couldn't... Your mouth just froze. You wouldn't move it. Like the same... Like, I didn't understand what was happening because you wouldn't move it. You were just...
I think, honestly, I got fed up with it. And I was just like... I just kind of, like, rolled it through.
I think you just froze. Your mouth froze.
I struggled a little bit, but...
It's okay.
Anyway, all that to say, words do create worlds. And sometimes the positive things we say to people literally changes the trajectory mm-hmm. of their life. And
the
negative is true, which before we got on this, we were talking about that because I asked Joy, I was like, hey, what are some of the most powerful words you ever said? And she was like, I don't know, you know, a lot of times those are negative things that we hear or that people hear is what has shaped us so much. And in David's case, it did. But what's awesome is how Jesus stepped into his story in a really low point in his life and changed the narrative, because he was operating from a narrative based off of two words for a really, really long time. So you're going to laugh, hopefully, with this conversation. You're going to think that...
You're going to realize the power of words.
Yes.
And then you're going to see the power of Jesus.
Yes. Yes. You're going to see a lot of really powerful, awesome things. I think the best way to describe this interview would be, it's Coco-ca-choo, baby.
Coco-ca-choo, baby.
So without further ado, you guys enjoy this powerful story from our friend, David Dennison. David Dennison, welcome to the Way is Wild podcast. Dude, we are so excited, and it has already been prophetically spoken over this podcast that this may be the wildest, funniest, craziest interview we ever have. So, and might I add, David's nickname and the first way he introduced himself to me was what?
Coo-coo-ca-choo.
Coo-coo-ca-choo. So for those listening, what in the world does coo-coo-ca-choo mean?
It means just a... fun, excited, joyful expression of joy.
A joyful expression of joy. I like that. And that is literally when David and I met, that is that's how he introduced himself. And you have lived up to the name for sure. There is, if you need a hype man in your life, David Dennison is it.
So before this interview today, David, I was talking to somebody and I told them we were interviewing you. And I said, you know him, because she goes to our church. And she said, I said, he's on the front row. He's the one always saying, amen, amen. And then, and she said, is he the one that always is dancing? And I said, yes, he is. So amen. I love it.
That's right.
I love it. She said, he's my kind of guy. He's hilarious. So we are Praise so Jesus. Glad that you're here. You're fun and you fit the name Coo-coo-ca-choo.
No doubt. No doubt. So welcome, brother. Super Thank glad
you.
You're here.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. And we wanted to introduce yourself to everyone listening. And so what have you been up to these days?
Oh, man. Well, where do I start? First off, you know, just praising Jesus every morning, you know, for the breath that he gives me to be able to wake up. And so really we've been, me and my wife have been recently starting a ministry, Breaking Free Ministry, and point down what the name is, you know, it's just to kind of encourage and to let people know, to inspire them that there is freedom in Jesus' name. Mm. You know, those chains that bind you, they don't have to be there. They just drop to remind you that they fall short behind you when you praise them. You know, great as what Psalms 107 says, you know, he brought them out of the gloom and the darkness and broke their chains apart. So, man, really been hyping up on that here recently in the past couple months. And, man, just it's been an exciting journey just to see where God's leading it. And, you know, of course, where he's leading our church. And, man, just been a wild ride.
Yeah, it really has. Just most recently, David and I traveled abroad to the country of Nicaragua together with a group of eight other guys. And, man, had the most amazing trip. It was a mission trip. And, David played Jesus in a little skit that we did, and you played the person that needed to be saved, and I was Jesus.
Sam.
Yes, yes.
Sinbok Sam.
Sinbok Sam, and I still think the country of Nicaragua is talking about the performance they saw, some of the guys on the trip started calling him David Pitt because he was such a great actor.
Not surprised.
No, it was pretty phenomenal.
It was awesome.
You did. You really did.
Talk about this Breaking Free Ministries. Will you share that a little bit with us even more? Like, I think I saw y'all promoting something with mm-hmm. that recently. Mm-hmm. Share with us what specifically y'all do or provide with the Breaking Free Ministries.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we have an event. So far, it's going to be once a year. We're looking as maybe going about 2 or 3 times a year to seeing, you know, if Jesus mm-hmm. expands it. But what the ministry is we have it broken down into 4 groups. So we have it spiritually, we have physically, we have mental, and we have addiction. Mm-hmm. And all 4 of those wrap around the gospel very, very well. Mm-hmm. A sin can be just as easy as having a bad thought in your mind to all the way of, you know, just murder. And so we think everything in the midst of that, whether it be anxiety, depression, or some kind of just gloom, you know, or just something that just holds you down, that doesn't let you reach your full potential in Christ. And so what we're there is, you know, we kind of break it down a little bit. So what we do is, you know, have our awesome guy, Charlie Brown, come out to cook for us. We're blessed to have him. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be cooking for a while and, you know, just kind of fellowship for a while. We'll have some games there, you know, cornhole, ladder toss, and just let people know that, you know, you don't have to be in the church. The church is not a building. Mm-hmm. The church is the body, the unity, the hands and feet of Christ, mm-hmm. the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we want to let them know that, you know, you can be the church and have fun outside of the building too. Yeah. So get together, have fun a while. You know, and after we eat and we hang out for a little bit, then we're going to basically go ahead and do some live worship. I feel the best way to kick off for me personally, what I get the most out of is worship. You know, mm-hmm. it just touches my soul a little bit. It just mm-hmm. goes to a place to where I feel like I'm right in front of the throne room of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I'm able just to let everything down and say, look, Lord, what I have messed up, yeah, tenfold. But what you're feeling to redeem me is way more than I could ever mess up. Yeah. And I know that I find my forgiveness in your mercy and grace.
Well, I think, you know, I want us to unpack. There's a lot behind Breaking Free mm-hmm. Ministry, even in the name. And it has a lot to do with your story and where God has brought you out of, where you've come from. And so we want to hear how or what God has done in your life over these last years. And so can you begin to share with us your story?
Yeah, man. It all dates back, you know, from back when living in up north, you know, and my mom and dad were already divorced. So we, you know, go on the lines and I was living in Maryland, D.C. in upstate New York at the time. And so I was kind of traveling back and forth, a little trifecta. And so I was staying with mom and dad for a while. And, you know, I stayed with my mom for about 3 or 4 months, I guess, at a time. And I stayed with my dad for about 3 or 4 months. Well, you know, it all ended up, it was going good. It was going mm-hmm. awesome. Still kind of hard to transfigurate towards different schools and whatnot. You know, one day just, you know, my dad's house, you know, he never let me down in the basement, you know, when he had his friends over. At that age, I didn't know why. And so I figured it was just because, you know, he didn't want little Dave falling down, you know, tripping. Cool, you know, okay, you're looking out for your son. Well, he brought me upstairs one day and his friends came over and then, you know, I got thirsty. You know, my grandmother's asleep on the recliner. So I'm like, hey, let's go ask dad for a drink. What does any normal kid do? You know, they go to your mom and dad and want some drinks. Say, hey, dad, I'm thirsty. So decided to go down, saw my dad there and tapped him on the shoulder and kind of maybe pulled his shirt. And it's like, you know, that age, what, it was probably about 4 or 5 years old. And I was like, hey, dad, yeah, I'm thirsty. And he just looked at me and said, huh? And yeah, thirsty. And he goes, okay, son, here. And handed me a beer.
Wow.
At 4 or 5.
About 4 or 5 years old, yeah. And I don't recall if I took it or drunk it. I want to say if I did or not, but I know one of his friends reached it, snatched it out of my hand about moments shortly after. And he said, Dave, he said, do you realize you just gave your son a beer? And he kind of just turned around and looked at me and him and just said, what, son? And man, I believe that's where... It's where that hole kind of came from, you know. It just started gaping up bigger and bigger and bigger as I grew older, you know, in the teens and stuff. And I masked it pretty well. I had a great growing up wise, you know, for a kid and a teenager. And my dad shortly recently passed away after that. I was about 6 and a half, 7 and a half. Wow. And my mom met my stepdad, which is my dad this day. I love him to death. He is mm-hmm. my father. And so we moved to Florida. And I began, you know, the kind of, I guess, the early stages into high school, because I stayed around ninth grade, to begin to dabble, if you will, like a little bit here and there in the drugs. And it made me feel so happy at the moment. But it's like a roller coaster ride. You know what I mean? It's like you go up, then you go down, then you go up, then you go down. And they caught it back and they chasing the dragon. It's like the dragon head kind of starts out big, goes up. And then the more you get to the tail, it just kind of mellows out.
Wow.
Wow.
And then you start from square one. That's why you're always looking for the next high, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was looking for that. And so I began to mix drugs. And what they call at the time, when you're doing one drug, it's called rolling. When you're doing two, it's called trolling. And I feel good for a while. Yeah, 2 or 3 days. And I come back feeling worse than when I started. And I was like, there has to be something more to this than just putting myself through this.
Yeah.
So I began to do a lot more stuff, man. I never ever was a drinker, but I began to do a lot of pills. Yeah. Then that didn't work. So I started actually getting lean, what they used to make cough syrup with. And started dipping that into weed and mixing that with different things and just drinking it straight up. Wow. And trying to slow down a little bit, you know. And I tried to find all these little loopholes of something. And then I got mixed up with gangs, you know. Mm-hmm. So I started hanging out with gangs and gang lords and drug lords and just mafias. Because, you know, I noticed they said it was like a brotherhood. Mm-hmm. You know, they said, if you're down for the brotherhood, we love you like you're on your own. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I thought maybe that could be the love that I'm looking for, you know. And I think I just wanted to find that love so great and deeply. I was willing to try anything.
Yeah. Mm.
Even if it meant risking my own life. And it started getting to the point to where it was just they wanted me to join them. You know, and I was like, oh, they love me. You know, they actually love me. I'm accepted, you know. And not really. It was just the exception of what I could do for them.
Sure.
And my mom and dad kept telling me that, you know, and all the drugs they were feeding me and the money and the cars. And going into these places that, like, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 year old would not be allowed into, that obviously being allowed in. Mm. And so I thought, you know, taste a little bit of that love, so-called love, if you will, and tasting what the world had to offer. And I was like, okay, you know, I always heard the world say, you know, you need, it's kind of like that one song, you know, you got your cars, you're going to hold them or you're going to fold them. You know, it's got that one country song, you know. Yeah.
Kenny Rogers.
That's right, baby.
Deep theology from Kenny Rogers. I love it.
So, you know, I had a decision to make. And I was like, okay, well, obviously I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. So the world says, I got to get it to be able, if I do this and this and this, then I will make it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I deserve it, the universe will serve it, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I need to make a name for myself. All right, well, I began thinking about this crazy cuckoo-cachoo-ness in my head and what I could do with it and having ADHD. So I began going to the rap career. And like, long story short of that, I almost got signed with multi-million-dollar contracts. I mean, I had everything the world could buy. I had money. I'm talking about a tour bus. I had stuff, you know, it was like a Minuteman. I could get it when I wanted, how I wanted, and how I needed to want it. Mm-hmm. And growing up poor, I never really experienced money. So I got a taste of it, yeah. You know. And as you guys know, you know, well, know, the more you taste, the more you want, the more you get, it's definitely the more you're going to want. Mm-hmm. It just is that vicious cycle that keeps going and going and going and going. And so that just really brought me down a darker path there, because it was, the music industry is awesome to a point, mm-hmm. until you start getting to the point where you need to sell yourself, mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, just what you have is not good enough. They want more. And again, that point, the more you get, the more you want. Well, when I lost it all, I lost it about 3 times. And, you know, I've always wondered, you know, I thought I was saved back in the day when I got saved. I thought I had got saved back around 8, 9, you know, years old, at a non-denominational church. And so I thought, well, I'm good. You know what I mean? I got saved. I'm good. I could tell you what it meant mentally. Right. I knew what it meant. I knew scripture. I went to a Christian school. Mm. And I could tell you the scriptures. I could walk the walk. But when it came down time to talk it and act it, you know, let my actions speak louder than words, it was nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what the Bible says is, you know, the fruits of the spirit, joy, love, peace, kindness, happiness. Right beneath that, it says, you know, the spirits of lawlessness, quick to anger. Mm-hmm. I had anger management classes a lot, just really quick off the tongue. And, you know, being a martial arts instructor, I would always quick to, well, if you don't want to shut it, I will, you know, type of ordeal. Just really mad at myself and the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I'm like, I'm getting in these holes and no one's here to help me. But you say you love me. Mm-hmm. But it's like when I need you, you're nowhere to be found. It's just me alone. Mm-hmm. I even looked at my own parents that way. And so then I started getting into more stuff after the music industry failed. That's when I went down a really, 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 really deep hole.
So I do know the continuation of your story. So you do make it back to Arkansas, and there is just There's still a lot of the Florida still in you in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so take us to the point where you're fed up with it and you end up, God ends up taking you to a church service. So take us there.
Yeah, absolutely. So fast forward about 2 years and I end up coming down here to see my brother, and he's living with this lady that lives right next to Lake Street Baptist. And I'm like, okay, let's just go see him for a minute. And I plan on seeing him and leaving. So we got in here and this lady, Miss Judy, and you know, I finally meet him and meet her. And she was like, I guess we spent about 3 or 4 hours there. And she decided to be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, you guys have somewhere to stay. And I was like, yeah, we do have somewhere to stay. We're going to stay in a two-door Cavalier. Being this big guy, bro, I was like, I might as well just get a twin-size air mattress, you know, and sleep on that thing with my feet hanging off, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's where I was living, you know, for a while. So she's like, honey, she goes, God wouldn't have me do that. She goes, you can sleep here tonight. And I was like, really? You don't even know me. So I started seeing this kind of love thing. Well, you know, fast forward to there. She lived right next to Lake Street Baptist Church. And one night, of course, I would always get high. Still, I found out she smoked weed, which wasn't really good because I was like, oh, here it comes again. Hmm. Well, we started smoking a lot. And so, you know, Sunday and Wednesday, every single Sunday and Wednesday of a week, she'd be like, hey, why don't you go over there to that church? And I was like, you know, I'm high right now. I don't really want to go high because I feel like I'm going to mess it up. And, you know, if I do that, I'll probably burst into a ball of flames outside. So I probably don't need to go in. They're probably going to be rebuking me as if, you know, Satan walked up in here. And they probably like, I was like, nah, I'll go next Sunday. And, you know, next week. I'll go next Wednesday, next Sunday. We all know what the next means. It means no. Mm-hmm. Well, on that night, April 8th, 2015, man, it happened. I just felt it just really, really sweet and just loving voice that I've never felt before, never heard. So silent as a whisper just come to me and say, hey, what you've been looking for, if you come with me, I will change your whole trajectory. Mm-hmm. I will change your life. I'll give you the love because I am it. The minute I grabbed that door handle, man, I just felt like my heart of stone just began to melt. Mm. And I felt that voice come back and tell me, this is where I needed you at this exact moment. You're where you're meant to be. Mm. And he said, come to me just as you are. Because he knew I had a, you know, in my mind, I was like, I don't want to come in here because I'm high. Yeah. Everyone's going to know. It doesn't take a rocket science to know that my eyes are as low as a horizon, you know. And I was like, man, I'm probably going to get judged. But when I walked in there, I didn't feel judged. I didn't feel no condemnation. I didn't feel like awesome. I was getting ready to be rejected. And I was like, these people don't even know me and I don't even know them. But I don't feel when I walk in here that I'm going to be like an outcast. Mm-hmm. So I came in. And barely can make it in. I saw the back pew and I was like, yep, that's where I need to be. Mm-hmm. So I went straight to the back pew, you know, sat down there, and there's probably about like 30, 40 people in that church. It was a really small church in the moment. I kept noticing the pastor's looking right at me. And I was like, dude, he sees right through me. He knows I'm completely messed up. Mm-hmm. They didn't reject me. And I was like, normally I would have got kicked out of somewhere. Normally I would have got told, sorry, but politely, you have to leave. Mm-hmm. Nothing like that. Yeah. So, you know, long story short, he preaches a sermon, they worship, and, you know, Brother Wayne gets on stage and preaches his Wednesday night sermon. I can't tell you exactly what the sermon was because I have no idea what it was about. True. But I do remember one thing. He gave the invitation for the altar call. Mm-hmm. He says, call out to Jesus and ask him to save you. He said, the Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive those, mm-hmm. and he will not turn any away who come to him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, not turning away, but he don't know how I am, right? That he said, Jesus says mm-hmm. also, come as you are. Mm-hmm. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. So he said, the altars are open. Play the music. He said, let's get it going. Right then, I got shoved out of my seat. Shoved. Like, I'm a pretty big guy. I got shoved out. I was getting ready to put the person on blast in the back because I was like, dude, you know what? I walked in here. You saw me. I was getting ready to just totally tear him up. But I turned around, and then I see the wall. I'm in the last pew. And I'm like, okay. People probably thinking I'm having a twitch moment because they just saw me get up. I turn around and all eyes are on me. And I'm just like, I'm just going to sit back down. And like nothing ever happened. Maybe I can like, you know, like I'm invisible, you know. So I begin to sit down. And immediately I begin to sit down, I walked forward. Hmm. And I knew why I was walking forward, but I didn't want to. But yet at the same time, I did. The want to was greater than the not, I guess, you know. I didn't know what I was going to be praying, but as soon as I knelt down to that altar, I began to just burst into tears. Mm. Burst into tears. And I knew exactly that moment why I was there for. And I woke up. The reason I say woke up wasn't asleep, but I woke up for the first time in my life alive. Mm. My high was gone out of my body. I didn't have no more high left. My eyes were white as snow. Wow. Literally, my eyes were open. I didn't feel dizzy. I felt the weight that I was carrying inside. It got left at that altar. I wasn't carrying no more. You know, just the thought of just, you know, depression and suicide and just all this other stuff running through my head at the time didn't feel.
Wow.
But it made me nervous because I felt joy. Mm-hmm. And I looked up at the pastor and I said, "Pastor," I said, "I've just been saved." Mm-hmm. I said, "Can you baptize me?" And he just burst out. He's like, "Amen, brother, just got saved." And, you know, he was just hopping around with his, you know, his cane with the marbles on. And he's just like, he said, "Guys," he said, "you stand right here, son." He goes, "Let's all give this brother some love." He said, "He's part of the family now." He said, "He accepted Jesus." He said, "The old him is done." And so they all came and congratulated me, hugged me. And he told me, he said, "Brother," he said, "if you can wait till Sunday," he said, "I'll get the baptistry ready." He said, "Sunday, I'll baptize you." I said, "Dude, that sounds awesome." And I was so stoked. Like, I didn't feel happiness, but I felt joy. Mm-hmm. And the world doesn't understand that. They say, "Well, it's the same thing." I'm like, no. It's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Happiness comes and goes. Mm-hmm. Joy stays forever. I was like, because it's something that we can't get on our own. I said, we can get happiness, but joy is something from the Spirit.
It's almost like what you said earlier, you know, chasing the dragon. You know, that's happiness. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Joy is constant. It's
absolutely
consistent. So, I love
yeah,
that.
Man. And so that's not like that. I went home and literally prayed to God. And that's like that I gave up everything.
Wow.
I quit drugs, cigarettes, nicotine, drinking, everything. I quit it cold turkey. And then I prayed about it. And when I prayed about it, I told Jesus, "Thank you for saving my soul." And then he cut me off. And he was like, "Look, I've given you the biggest sacrifice of them all." Mm. He said, "I either want all of you or none of you. Mm. You need to make some sacrifices for me. Oh, this would have been for nothing."
Wow.
And I felt that. And right when I ended the prayer, my roommate just said, "Hey, you want to finish the rest of these drugs with me?" And that's when I told her. I said, "No, I'm done." Mm. And man, looking back from right now, I've been 8 years sober.
That's awesome.
You know, and I've never had a want to, never had a taste to go back. Even on day one, the next day after, I never had a want to go back. It's like he just made me hate it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a want to go back to it. And so I had a lot of people kind of discipling me, telling me, "You know, now you're an ambassador of Christ." He said, "You think you were fighting then, the real fight has just begun." Mm-hmm. He said, "You're in Christian boot camp." Mm-hmm. He said, "You think Satan's going after you?" No. He's feeling to bring everything he can, because he said he's mad because he lost you. Mm. And he said he's going to try to do everything he can to rip your relationship away from God. He said, "Don't let him do that." He said, "Just know that Satan still trembles when Jesus prays." Mm. He said, and the Bible says that he prays things that we cannot even fathom. Mm. And I was like, okay. I was like, pray? Okay. He said, "This day forward, bro, I've been a cuckoo-choo and praying thief food, bro." Like, every single day of my life, I feel like I'm praying so much. And God's like, "Okay, son, this is like the 80th time I heard you in about an hour.
I got it.
I see him. Yeah. I hear him. I got you." Oh, you know? Wow. But man, just continue to keep praying and having faith. And you know, that's my motto. I was like, and I pray, and I don't walk by sight anymore. I walk by faith, because I've seen too much to know.
Yeah. Man, that is truly a wild story. I mean, it just really captures so much that we want to capture with this podcast. And, you know, what's fascinating is going back to one of the first things you were talking about with breaking free. You know, we oftentimes talk about the idea that God takes our worst points of pain and sin and turns them into our purpose. Mm. And that's what's so phenomenal about your story. Is not only is it a phenomenal testimony, but it's also, it's gone from a testimony to a ministry. And that's just really powerful what you and your wife are doing. And so I love that. And the story is yet to be told of what will happen, how many more Davids are out there that you will impact through breaking free, through just your day-to-day life. Because I know anywhere you go, you're talking about Jesus. I heard someone say one time, you love going to the gym. I know that we were talking about that before the podcast started. And someone else that I know goes to the gym with you, and they're like, "I don't know how he gets his workouts done, because every time I see him, he's just talking to people." And so I love that.
That's okay, though.
Yeah,
totally. You're running.
That's right.
I figured
the gym is my war room.
You're running your mouth, maybe not your legs, but you're running something. I love that.
Hey, gotta get that jaw exercise too.
I love that.
But you know, and I think too, something that I think is so powerful about your story, David, and one of the reasons we wanted to have you on here is, you know, one of the focuses of The Way is Wild is we want to focus on family discipleship. It's not our only focus, but it's one of them. And you know, your story, the genesis of your struggle and hardship and sin was something your father said to you, and the hole that left in your heart. Now, obviously, we knew from the beginning sin causes that hole in our hearts, but the words from your earthly father created that, and then his absence after he passed away. And so, you know, fast forward the Father, you know, the Heavenly Father speaks those truths into your life, and it totally changes the trajectory of your life. And so what is one thing that you would say to parents, dads who are listening to this right now? You know, what would you share with them about the power of their words?
Man, it's, you know how they say, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can't hurt me. Mm-hmm. That's a flat out lie from the pit of hell. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, words cut deeper than any action. Mm-hmm. Because it gets tattooed in your heart. You know, it's, you may say it to somebody years down the line. It's like take for instance, it's like a hurricane. Okay, your words like a hurricane. You know how a hurricane, when it forms, you get a bunch of wind and stuff, and you know it's there, and it hasn't fully developed yet. It hasn't taken the actual total damage yet, but you see it coming, you see it cattling. And eventually, when it gets over warm water, starts getting all this power stuff, and it starts upgrading to category 1, 2, and 3, and 4. And the more it's over that warm water, it just sits there and just builds up, mm-hmm. and the stronger it gets. It's kind of the same thing with me, that I think of it, choose to think of it as words. It's you know, you say something to somebody, it's like a category, just a tropical storm. Mm-hmm. And the more they just sit there and just, you know, you don't know what goes on in another person's life. They could be having a moment of just anxiety, or they could be suffering from depression, or an illness could drop in their family. And during that time of lowness, they could think of those words that were spoken to them, mm-hmm. because it's with you. It's tattooed in your heart, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it intensifies.
Yes. And it keeps growing and growing so bad to where, you know, you see people calling people names at school. Mm-hmm. And what happens to those kids? A lot of those kids take their lives. Mm-hmm. So, man, if I can give one advice, just one advice to the fathers out there who are listening to this and have kids, to be, God calls us to be spiritual leaders of our household. Mm-hmm. What I can definitely tell them would be to listen before you speak. Mm. Listen before you speak. I know that, you know, you've helped me out a lot in kind of your preaching, and I've always listened. You said what you think of is the point that comes, what you do, it comes right out of your mouth, and your hands actually help build that way. Mm-hmm. So it's like everything kind of works together. So it's like, pay attention to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Don't do something that's going to draw you further away from Christ, because if that does, if it draws you further from Christ, then your words are going to go ahead and speak it. Mm-hmm. It's, you're either going to speak life, whatever's in your heart. You know, if it's hate in your heart, if you're looking at hate, if you're watching hate, if you're watching just all these other stuff, it's going to come out in your words.
You know, I heard someone say one time, this is powerful, because when God created everything, his words created worlds.
Amen.
And now, because of the fall, we have that same power, but we have the power to either create a good world, a gospel-centered world, or a downward spiraling world, that our words create worlds in the lives of other people.
And destroy.
Or destroy, exactly. Yeah. Or destroy.
It's not even, I mean, yeah, it can't build, worlds. But it's just destroy.
Yeah, or creates false narratives, false worlds. Mm-hmm. But what I love about your story is, your story, in essence, began with what son? From your earthly father. But it has now become, from your heavenly father, what a son. Oh. You know, that one extra word, one letter, makes all the difference in the world. From what son to what a son. And he always thinks that way about us. Man, even in our worst places, and even after we, you know, give our lives to Jesus, we still make those mistakes. He still declares over us, what a son, what a daughter.
That's right.
And man, thank you, David, so much for sharing your story. And it's truly wild. And we believe it's going to inspire and impact and equip a lot of people. Thank you for being obedient. And we're excited to see what happens with Breaking Free. That's really awesome.
Do y'all have any kind of way for people to look into your ministry?
Yes. So the easiest way would be, if you see me out and about, if I don't come to you first, which more likely I will, come to me, you know, ask me about it. Like I told you, you know, I tell people back in the day, and I'll tell them to now, and it's true as this day, if you want to hear about Jesus, then you might want to avoid me, because that's literally the most important thing in my life. Yeah. You know, people know I talk a lot. Yes. But it's not just words now. You know, it's to speak love, you know, and I've been told one time that if you love somebody, what are you doing? You're giving them God, because God is love. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if you see me back, just come around and ask me. Just know, like I said, the Breaking Free thing you can find on Facebook. If you have any questions, also have a messenger section on that page that comes directly to me. Yeah. So people have been sending me prayer requests, and people have been sending me praise reports and all this stuff, and, you know, advice and questions. Man, I love it. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Your story reminds me of, I was listening to Christine Kane speak at Passion 1 year, and she says, there comes a time when you have to make what Jesus did for you greater than what anyone did to you. And so I feel like you are living that, that you are making what Jesus did for you on the cross greater than what he said to you, and you're not living in that anymore, but that your pain became your purpose. And so I'm just really proud of you guys and your life and how you're sharing Jesus with others and giving hope to those who are breaking free of addiction. So you're doing it, man. I'm proud of you.
Your mess ups become your ministry.
That's right.
I feel like this is an episode of all the, what are they called? Like, not alliterations, but like,
yeah, it's alliteration.
Your pain becomes your purpose. Yeah, your mess up becomes your ministry.
Your sin becomes your, your,
not your
sin. I don't know.
That's right. At the end of me, I really, you know, going through all that is the ministry is awesome because it really is, but I want to live a life that when I die, hell rejoices over.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's,
I want to say that this preacher of a man, this cuckoo chew, Jesus talking, water walking, mountain moving of a man is finally shut up and dead. And I'm like, no, bro, I'm just going home to where you got kicked out of. I'm going back to the sender. You know what I mean? I'm going to the Father.
I love that.
I love it.
Well,
okay.
Listen, we...
Yeah, no, go for it.
Well, we end every episode with a question, and it is, what is your favorite place in the wild? So out in God's creation, what is your favorite place? It can be a specific place, or it can be just like, man, I love the beach, or I love whatever. It's like, what is your favorite place in the wild?
My favorite place in the wild is in the water.
In the ocean, dude.
It's something about the water that just... Water just moves so fluently, but it's so free, you know? And it just... It doesn't never just stop. It just cuts. It goes around, and it finds ways around something, and it keeps on going. And to me, it's kind of like... That's kind of like my walk with Christ. You know what I mean? That's why I love the water so much, because it just reminds me, no matter what path is that blocks my way, I can always go around it. Even though I may see one set of footprints, like, look, I know Jesus was holding me and carrying me through that situation. So, man, dude, just like being out in the middle of the ocean... I could be happy with a line, scuba tank, free diving, dude. I love the water, whether it's surfing, fishing, snorkeling. Just the water is like my second studio, you know? It's like a martial arts studio for me. It's like my other place. That is where I go in the wild to just get rewild. Rewild for men.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. The rewild, baby. That's right.
That's right. So that's my place, bro. Water's my place of peace.
I love it. I think I've seen too many... videos on social media about people fishing or whatever, or scuba diving, and big bull shark pulls up for me to, like, that'd be my spot. Kind of scares me a little bit.
Hey, cuckoo, cuckoo, baby.
Yeah, bro. Just go look at him and be like, let's go.
I love it. Well, thanks
David's
again.
David's going to tell that shark about Jesus.
Thanks again. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Listen, before you eat me, that's right. Are you going to go to heaven?
Hold on.
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're going to get it popping here for a second, shark, right? In the water, 60 feet meters down.
Oh, boy. Thank you again, David, for being on the podcast. And also, thank you for wearing your Suns Out, Guns Out tank top. We didn't get to talk about that enough, but I've enjoyed looking at that across the table. So we love you, and super grateful for you, bro. Thanks again for being on the podcast.
Hey, you know, Joy and Blake, thank you guys for having me on here. I love you guys so much. Like I said, thank you, man. And it's been a wild ride. Let's keep it going.
Yes.
Stay wild.
The best is yet to come.
That's right.
Stay wild. Thank you for listening to the Way Is Wild podcast. We hope today's episode inspired and equipped you to follow the wild way of Jesus. If you love the Way Is Wild podcast, please take a quick moment to subscribe and leave a happy review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to. And please share this with a friend. If you want more of The Way Is Wild, you can visit our website at thewayiswild.com and also sign up for our monthly Inspire letter. Until next time, friends, let's take what we've learned together and follow Jesus into the wild.